Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Lamed Aleph. We're on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Reish Lakish Amar. The Gemara over here is really one run-on sentence for now last number of days. The third parak over here has been occupied with discussing some of the most fundamental topics. Kimle v'derabim minei, mishum risha achas atamechayva v'itamechayva shtei rishayos. So there are a number of very basic concepts in halacha that come up over the course of this parak, and really what it comes down to, the root issue, is what seems to be a discrepancy between the Mishnah here in Ksuvos and the Mishnah Makos. So let's just quickly reset, and then we're gonna try to address it today in a new method. Okay, so going back to what was the issue? The issue is that in our Mishnah, what we learned together is that if in fact a man is ma'anis a woman, so he has to pay what's called chavala. He has to pay all the bodily damages that he created through the assault. He has to pay the shevis and the pagam and the tsar and the nezek and the ripui. And the truth of the matter is that it's not all five payments. Anyway, without burden right now with all the details, so he has to pay the nizke chavala. Let's say it like that. He has to pay the damages, the bodily damages. And on top of that, that's all compensation. And on top of that, he also has to pay knas. And the knas of chamishim kesef, there's a punitive fine that's imposed on the man who's ma'anis a woman. And that is, he has to pay also 50 shkalim. Now that knas is extraordinarily limited, meaning limited circumstances, as we already will go all the way back to the Mishnah of our parak. This is day four of this parak. Day five, sorry. Chav tes, lamed, lamed af, lamed beis, now lamed gimel, and lamed dalet. Okay, I'm going to correct myself one more time. It's day six now of this discussion. So the kanas that's imposed on the man who's man is a woman is going to be extraordinarily limited. She has to be a basula. She has to be a naira. And there may be other limitations as well, whether she's ru'uya to you or she's not ru'uya to you. But anyway, but it's extraordinarily limited. But still, in other words, there's a kanas, there's a punitive fine. So we learned in our Mishnah that when a man is man is a woman, so he has to pay. He has to pay both compensatory damages and punitive damages as well. Mamon and Kanas. And then the Mishnah Makos. And the Mishnah Makos says that when a man is ma'anis, a woman who is prohibited to him, so he's going to get Malkos. So there's an Isser Lav to have relations with any one of the Arayos, aside from the fact that there's also an Isser Karius as well. But in other words, but because it's a Lav, so therefore there is Makos. In other words, the typical punishment for violating a losa say in the Torah, and that's Makos. So what comes out now is that if you take the Mishnah here in Ksuvos, and you take the Mishnah there in Makos, and you put the two of them together, and what comes out over there is that you have now, seemingly, two punishments. Now, two punishments. Now, we can't do two punishments. Mishum risha achas atamechayva v'yitamechayvo shtei rishayos. And the basin only is capped at giving one of the two punishments. So what we've been discussing now since the beginning, since the Gemara presented this as an issue, is that what is going to be the default setting in terms of which punishment, generally speaking, Beis Din is going to levy? Is Beis Din going to be giving the Kanas, or is Beis Din going to be giving the Malkus? Now, hopefully what you recall is that this was a Machlokes Amoraim between Ula and Rav Yochanan. Ula was of the position that it's going to be Mamon over Kanas as a default, with exception, but that's the default. It's going to be Mamon over Kanas, and Rav Yochanan says, no, just the opposite. Sorry, it's going to be, let me say it better. According to Ula, it's going to be Mamon over Malkus, okay? And according to Rav Yochanan, just the opposite, it's going to be Malkus over Mamon, okay? Now, the two of them agree, and this we already established, this is all just Chazara. The two of them agree that there are two cases in the Torah where we know it's going to be Mamon, not Malkus. So, for example, the two examples of Edom Zomimim and Chavala. So in those two cases, it's going to be Mammon and not Malkus, and we have drushas, and the Gemara went back and forth in terms of why these are exceptional cases. And everybody's going to agree that in that case, it's going to be Mammon and not Malkus. However, outside of those two cases, what's going to be the default setting when there are two punishments, and it's one's Mammon and the other is Malkus, and which of the two is going to be imposed? So that's the machlokus between Ula and Rav Yochanan. Ula says Mammon, not Malkus, and Rav Yochanan says Malkus, not Mammon. Good. That is what we've been discussing now for the last number of days, and we're going to continue. But what we're going to do today is that we're going to give a new approach, meaning that now, to the basic question of when a man is ma'anes, let's say, for example, his sister, And now there is mamon, meaning knas. And there's also malchus. So what do you do in those circumstances? So Reish Lakish Amar. So now we're picking up where we left off yesterday. And we are on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And we are towards the bottom of the Amud. And whatever, it's a little bit more than halfway down. It's at the two dots. So Reish Lakish Amar Hamani Rebbe Meir Damar Loka Mashalem. Ah, so it's going like Shitas Reb Meir. Meaning Reb Meir is of the position that you're both. In other words, it's not one or the other, but it's both. And so it's going to be both. So why should it be both? Meaning, isn't the overarching assumption that we've been making up until now that it can't be both, that it necessarily has to be one or the other? And now what Reish Lakish is proposing over here is that there is a Tana who will entertain the idea that, in fact, both is an option. So look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes Amani. It's Ramer that we saw in the Mishnah Makos going back a couple days from now. Going back a couple days earlier. So we saw Rabbi Meir in that Mishnah Makos that says that that when a person is chayv both knas and makos, so so in fact you can both can be levied. Now the Gemara says he Rabbi Meir afilu bitonami problem. So if now you're asserting that the resolution between the two Mishnayos is that not that we have to choose one or the other, but rather both. Both are right. So now there's both Mamon and there's Malkos. So what about the Mishnah upcoming? So we're going to get to our next Mishnah. Our next Mishnah is on Lamed Vav. So we're just a couple days away from it. And in the upcoming Mishnah, what we're going to be learning together is that there is, in the event that a man is Ma'anis' daughter, so there is not going to be a Knas. Why? Because being Ma'anis one's daughter is not just an erva, but an erva that has with it misa bidei adam. That's a capital crime. One is subject to sreifa if, in fact, he has relations with his daughter. As a result of that, so we are going to say kimle bederabimine. Now, as we've discussed already, when one of the two punishments is clearly harsher than the other, so then we know exactly what to do. The harsher punishment is going to overshadow the lesser punishment. That's kimle. That's what we've been discussing since the beginning of this parak. So if you want to tell me that the Mishnayos of Ksuvas and the Mishnayos of Makos are falling like Reb Meir, well, then you have to follow through. We have a Mishnah coming up. The Mishnah coming up is going to be telling us that in the case where one is Ma'anis his daughter, there's not going to be Knas. Ah, you want to tell me it's going like Reb Meir? Reb Meir entertains both. That there's going to be Makos and Mamon, and presumably, this is the assumption the Gemara is making, that's built into the question over here. And not only can there be Makos and Mamon, there also is going to be Misa and Mamon as well. That's what the Gemara is assuming in asking this question. And that presents a problem. The Gemara says, V'chitim Ramer Loka Mishalam Islay Mes Mishalam Leislay. And the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe you want to propose that there's a distinction to be made. Meaning that Ramer will say both when it comes to Makos and Tashlamim. But not when it comes to Misa and Tashlamim. Below, the Gemara says, however, what we're going to have to contend with is the following. We have a brace of Atanya. Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos, ganav v'tavach la'avodas kochavim, ganav shura nisko tvacho, misham tashlumi arba v'chamisha divrei Rabbi Meir v'chachamim potrim. Okay, so let's take the following brisa into consideration, because this brisa would seem to indicate otherwise. Well, first, before we go with the otherwise, let's first understand the brisa in of itself. So, a couple of basic rules that we are all familiar with. This is going to be discussed extensively in the 7th parak of Baba Kama. And that is that after stealing, you compound the act of stealing with either shechting the animal or selling the animal. So if you go ahead and you steal, follow then by either shechting or by selling the animal, so now you're subject to a knas. Now we know that for stealing in of itself, if you're caught with the stolen item, so already there's a knas that's called kefo. But if, let's say, you were not caught with the stolen item, but after you stole the item, you either shechted it or you sold it, so now you're going to be subject to another level of knas, what's called dalvehei. Dalvehei, four or five times the amount of the animal in which you stole, that's what you're going to have to pay. Is it four or is it five? It depends on the type of animal, small animal versus large animal. Again, when we get to Baba Kama, we're going to discuss this in more detail. However, this dalvehei penalty is obviously a knas. Now, what we are discussing over here, this Mishnah is entertaining the following. The truth of the matter is it's a brisa, but either way, what it's entertaining is the following, and that is, what if you do it on Shabbos? What if you shecht it for Avodah Zarah? What if it is a Shor HaNiskal? So in all of these circumstances, so are you going to have to pay? So according to Rav Meir, the answer is yes. Mishalim Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. And the Chachamim say that you're Potter. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, the Pator is seemingly is going to be generated by the fact that in all of these incidents and all these episodes, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. Since you're going to be Chayiv Misa, as a result of that, there's not going to be Tashlumim. Why? Because of Kimlei B'Darabimineh. That's the Sheet of the Chachamim. Put that aside right now and just focus on the Sheet of Rav Meir. That's the problem. The problem is that according to Rav Meir, you're going to have to pay. Now, this is a case of Misa and Mamon, right? We could just focus on two of the three cases. It's clearly a case of Misa and Mamon. In the case of Avodah Zarah, of being over to Avodah Zarah is Chiyuv Misa, Skila. Let's talk about Shabbos. Violating Shabbos is Chiyuv Misa, Skila. And Rav Meir is of the position that if I were to do these two activities, meaning both shech the animal and violate Shabbos, so Rav Meir is of the position that you're going to have to pay. So what comes out now is that according to Rav Meir, what do we find? Misa u'mishalem. So the distinction we try to make is that we have Rav Meir of our Mishnah. Rav Meir of our Mishnah says that you're going to have to pay. And the Mishnah Makos says that you're going to get Makos. And what Reish Lakish is proposing is that it's going like the Sheet of Rav Meir, which is that there's both. The problem is the Mishnah Lamed Vav. The Mishnah Lamed Vav says that when a man's man is his daughter, so he's not going to have to pay the Kenas. So what we're entertaining now is that maybe a distinction to be made between Makos and Mamon versus Misa and Mamon. However, this Brisa has just informed us that that distinction is not true. This Brisa has just informed us that even the case of Misa and Mamon, Rav Meir says that you're chayav both. That's problematic. Okay, so what we're going to try to do is untangle. And admittedly, this next piece of Gemara is a little bit complicated, but we're going to try to untangle. Hi Itmar Allah. So the Gemara says, okay, on that Brisa, we made the following comment. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, V'amar Le Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Amar Rabbi Shem, Amar Lakish, Rabbi Abin. Rabbi Eli, v'chol chavrusa mishmei, the Rav Yochanan Amri b'tovech haidei acher. So the Gemara says that the case under discussion in that brisa is not when you, the thief, shechted it yourself, but you subcontracted it. You gave it to the butcher, and he had him shecht it. So the Gemara says v'chizechote v'zem eschayev. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. How can that possibly be? Meaning, so now you, the thief, didn't shecht. You go ahead, you went ahead and you gave it to somebody else to shecht. And now, how in the world could it be that that person now shechted and you're going to be liable? So Amar Rav, Amar Rechmana, Utzvacha Umachara, Ma'amechira Ayideh Acher, Avtvicha Ayideh Acher. So basically, the Gemara is going to say it three different ways, but basically the point of the Gemara is, this is a notable exception to the rule. Okay, what's the rule? Rule is, Ein Shlech Dvar Veira. In other words, if I either ask or tell somebody to do an Avera, even if I give clear instruction, I want you to violate the Avera. So, as far as the liability is concerned, the liability does not turn to the one who gives the instructions, but rather the one who violates the Avera. This is the rule, the basic rule of Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera. Good, this is true for the vast majority of Halacha. But there are exceptions, notable exceptions. One of the notable exceptions of Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera is exactly our case over here, where you went ahead and you stole, and then you gave it to somebody else to shecht, and you instructed him to shecht, you are going to be liable dal vehei. Aye, he shechted, and you're going to be liable. This is a notable exception. Why is it a notable exception? So the Gemara says it in one of three ways. Rava says it's because the Torah equates either shechting or selling. So ma mechira ayde acher, af tvich ayde acher. Look, selling obviously requires a third party. I mean, you can't sell it without a third party. So shechting also can include a third party as well. Derbei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the Gemara says it a slightly different way, and that is, oh, the rabbis is a shlech. The word, oh, tvacho, oh, mecharo. And Derbei Chizkiya Tana, tachas, the rabbis is a shlech. Or it can be learned from the word tachas, which means in place of, right? Okay, in other words, however we get there, and I'm sure there are going to be some subtle differences between the three different ways in which we're saying it, but regardless, for our purposes right now, so tvicha can be done through agency. So I can go ahead and ask somebody else to shecht it, and I'm going to be liable. So, to the question now of Rebbe Meir, what does he hold? Does he hold that there could be a case of Miso Meshalim? So what the Gemara is arguing is no. There's no, Rebbe Meir does not hold a Miso Meshalim. And what about the Brisa about the thief who stole and he shechted? You misunderstood the case. He didn't steal, and it's not that he stole and he shechted, but rather he stole and he subcontracted and he gave it to somebody else to shecht. So the reason why now he's going to be chayv dal vehei is because he didn't do the shechita, somebody else did it. To which, hopefully, you're wondering, because now the Gemara is going to ask, maskev la marzutra, mikemidi de'ilu avat iulo mitzchayev, ve'avat shlechu mitzchayev. So the Gemara says, well, let's think about this now. Let's really spend a moment just pondering. So let me get this straight. If I had the thief who went ahead and shechted it himself, now remember, he's shechting it on Shabbos. Right, I know there are a couple of other examples, but let's focus on just right now the Shabbos. So let's say the thief were to shecht it on Shabbos, and he did it himself. So now is he going to be chayv dal vehei? No, he's not. Why? Because again, the dal vehei is coming in conjunction with a violation of Shabbos. A violation of Shabbos is a capital punishment, and we do not say misa u'mishalim. So if he shechted it himself, he'd be putter. And meanwhile, if I'm hearing you correctly, and he went ahead and he subcontracted, and he told somebody else to shecht it, now he's going to be liable? I don't understand. The Gemara says it doesn't seem to make any sense. Gemara gives a fundamental answer. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood. Kimle b'derabba mine does not expunge the penalty. All it simply says is that there are, in fact, two penalties, but Beis Din is going to be handcuffed. Beis Din can only give one of the two penalties. So in other words, in a scenario where through one action you're chayav both Misa and Mamon, it's not that the Mamon doesn't exist, it does exist. It's just that Beis Din cannot litigate the Mamon. Beis Din has no jurisdiction over the Mamon because the Misa over there is overshadowing the Mamon. But in a circumstance where Beis Din has the ability to litigate the Mamon, how could that be? Because you didn't shecht it, but you instructed somebody else to shecht it. And again, this is one of the notable exceptions in the Torah where there is a shlich l'dvar avera. So now, Beis Din can go ahead and impose both the Misa and the Mamon. How could they do that? Because there is no Misa over here, because you're not the one who shechted. Somebody else shechted. Okay, fine. So, Iba tovech ha'ide acher, ma'itama de rabban de patre. Good. So where do we stand right now? So right now, in our interest in untangling all this, so now we have established that the case of the Braisa is not where you shechted the animal. In other words, it's not that you stole and you shechted, but rather you stole and you instructed somebody else to shecht. He shechted on Shabbos. Exactly. But Rav Meir says that because it wasn't you shechted on Shabbos, but rather somebody else who shechted on Shabbos. And again, I'm just repeating, this is an exception to the rule of Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera. Here, the Avera goes back to the thief. And therefore, the liability goes back to the thief. And now he's going to have to pay the knas of dal vehei. So that all works according to Rav Meir. But now we have to do is we have to go back to the Braisa. And now we have to plug that back into the Braisa. Meaning, because in the Braisa, what do we have? A machlokus between the Chachamim and Rav Meir. Now, Rav Meir says that you're going to be chayev. And now we understand Rav Meir really well. But in our attempt and our success in explaining the Shita Rav Meir, so what that left us now is really struggling to now go and explain the sheet of the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim say that you're putter. Why, according to the Chachamim, you're going to be putter? Now, this problem is really difficult. Because in the way we set up the case, we have to assume that the case is the same for both Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And now, according to the Chachamim, let's look at the same case. Meaning, you stole. And now, it's not that you shechted on Shabbos, but you instructed somebody else to shecht on Shabbos. You didn't violate Shabbos. He violated Shabbos. So the violation of Shabbos goes on him, but the dal vehei remains with you. And so therefore you should be chayv dal vehei. So now the Shita Rav Meir is really well understood. The problem, of course, is the Shita of the Chachamim. Now, man Chachamim. So the Gemara proposes now, here's what we're going to have to do. And that is that as much as we just said a Chiddush in Rabbi Meir, we're now going to be saying a Chiddush in the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim are who, in fact? Rabbi Shimon. We're on the very top of Lamed Alamed Aleph. So now what we're asserting is that the Chachamim subscribe to Rabbi Shimon. What Rabbi Shimon? Damer Shechita Shein Ruy, Lo Shema Shechita. Rabbi Shimon's of the position that Shechita Shein Ruya Lav Shmei Shechita. Now, when we have gone through the Gemara in Chulin, so we're going to see this time and again throughout Chulin, the Shita Rabbi Shimon. I'll just give you a couple of examples in terms of what Rabbi Shimon's talking about. The basic idea behind Rabbi Shimon is the following. We, of course, know what the act of Shechita is. The act of Shechita is taking a knife and, through a specific method, cutting the front of the neck of the animal, severing both the trachea and the esophagus. Okay. And in other words, so as far as the act of Shechita is concerned, that's very clear. Halacha Moshe Misinai, we know exactly how it's done. Rabbi Shimon has the following chiddush, if you will. And that is that if you shecht an animal, and for whatever reason, you're not allowed to eat the meat of the animal because of some other isser, so Rabbi Shimon will tell you that even though the act of Shechita was done, halachically, that wasn't Shechita. It doesn't define itself as a Shechita. Now, there are many ramifications of this. I'll give you just a simple example. We know Osav Espino. You can't shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. Let's say you shechted the mother, and for whatever reason, halacha does not allow you to eat the meat of that animal. Let's say, for example, the mother was a shor niskal, okay, and so therefore the mother was prohibited to eat, or whatever. It could be a number of different examples of why you can't eat it. If you can't eat the meat of that animal, so then that doesn't define as a shechita. That means, according to Rabbi Shimon, you could in fact shech the offspring on the very same day. The Torah says, "Osav espino lo sishchetu b'yom echad," that you're not allowed to shech the two on the same day. But if the mother doesn't define as a shechita, and here's the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon, and I know this takes a while to absorb, that the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon is that if you can't eat the resultant animal, therefore it's not shechita. It simply is not defined as a shechita. This is what's called a shechita she'ein ruya lav shmei shechita. It's not called a shechita. So what the Gemara is proposing over here is that the shita of the Chachamim over here is that the Chachamim subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, a shechita she'ein ruya is not considered a shechita. And now, this is a really technical point, meaning what's the kenas for the thief? The thief is receiving a kenas for stealing and for shechting. O tavach o machar, either for shechting or for selling, but we're obviously focusing right now on the shechting. So, in order to be chayv d'alvehei, it has to qualify as a shechita. And even for a technical reason, if it doesn't qualify as a shechita, so you're not going to be on the hook for dal v'hei. Okay? I recognize that all this is very legal, but okay, that's how Gemara works. Gemara is very legal. So So the Gemara says, okay, but I could certainly see how, if you shecht an animal for avodah zarah, you're not allowed to eat it, it's asur b'achila, it's asur b'anah, it's a shechita she'ein ruya, that I get. And the same thing can be said regarding shor niskal. Shor niskal, an animal that kills somebody, so that animal now needs to be put to death, and the animal cannot be eaten, and the meat of that animal is asur b'anah, asur b'achila, asur b'anah. So now, once again, it's a shechita she'ein ruya. I get that as well. But you shecht an animal on Shabbos. Are you allowed to eat the animal? So, right now the Gemara is assuming you are. And for good reason, the Gemara assumes that. Because it's a Mishnah in Chulin, Daf Yudalid. So it did not. We learned in the Mishnah in Chulin. Ashokhe b'Shabbos v'yom ha-Kippur, ma'afal p'shim ischai b'nafsho, shechita sok she'ra, yishecht on Shabbos, yishecht on Yom Kippur. Now, you violated Shabbos, you violated Yom Kippur. There's no question about it. And not only that, but if you did so b'mezah, you're going to be chayv misa. There's no question about that as well. But the resulting shechita is good. Meaning, the shechita is still a good shechita. That's the Mishnah in Chulin. Okay, Tosus over there, all the Rishonim over there says that if the person who's shechting is now a Mechal Shabbos, so doesn't that mean now that a Mechal Shabbos who shechts, so shouldn't that Shechita be a Shechita, Shechita Psula? Anyway, see Tosus over there. Our discussion is going to revolve around the following, meaning we're assuming right now that the Shechita is in fact going to be a good Shechita, and that's problematic, because we are saying that according to the Chachamim, the reason why you're Potter is because it's a Shechita Shein Ruya. The Mishnah in Chulin says that shechting on Shabbos is, in fact, a shechita haru. You're allowed to eat the animal. So the Gemara says, Sarva laka Rav Yochanan Sandler. So the Gemara says, yeah, but our Braisa, the sheet of the Chachamim, not only subscribes to Rabbi Shimon, he also subscribes to Rav Yochanan Sandler. Who is Rav Yochanan Sandler? D'Tanya. So we get to go through this braisa a number of times throughout Shas. So here, today's daf, Ksufas daf lamed daled. So here gives us another opportunity. The Gemara is in. I'm looking at the side. I wish my Bikis were this good. My Bikis is not this good. I'm looking at the side of the Gemara right now. The Gemara is in Baba Kama, in Chulin, in Gittin, in Beitza. So this Mishnah, in Shabbos. So this braisa comes up multiple times throughout Shas, and that is Maisa Shabbos. What if somebody violates Shabbos? Can someone benefit from the act that was done on Shabbos, a violation of Shabbos? I'm a vashel with Shabbos. You cook on Shabbos, and it's not limited to cooking. It would be true for any one of the malachas on Shabbos. So, but cooking is just simply a good example. So you cook on Shabbos, b'shogeg yochel b'meizah lo yochel div Rebbe Meir. So if you do so b'shogeg, meaning having forgotten that today's Shabbos, so yochel, you're allowed to eat it, b'meizah lo yochel, but if you do so b'meizah, you're not going to be able to eat it. Now the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of details that I'm not filling in over here. See Rashi, see Tosfos, there's a lot of details over here. I'm going to fast forward only because what we're really interested right now for our purposes today's daf is Rav Yochanan Sandler. There are going to be three opinions over here. So Rav Meir represents the most makel shita. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Shoge Yochel Amosei Shabbos. Bemezeh lo yochel lamis. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you cook on, it doesn't really matter, but the Bryce is talking about cooking. If you cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, so yochel, other people can eat it. But however, Amosei Shabbos, but only after Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. And b'mezed lo yochel olamis. And if you do so b'mezed, so then you yourself can never eat it. Other people can eat it after Shabbos. Again, what everything I'm saying is not absolute. There are a number of ways to interpret it. Again, we're just fast forwarding because we want to get to Rav Yochanan Sandler. Rav Yochanan Sandler omer b'shogeg yochel lamotzei Shabbos la'acherim v'lo lo. That according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, if it's done b'shogeg, you cook on Shabbos on but mistakenly, inadvertently, meaning you forgot it was Shabbos. So others can eat it, but only after Shabbos. You yourself are never allowed to eat it. And b'meizah lo yochol, lames lo lava lo lacherim. But if you were to cook on Shabbos b'meizah, so now it becomes usur. The food becomes usur. Aside from the fact that you violated Shabbos, the resulting action is going to be usur. To you, to others, forever. Now, my time at the Rav Yochanan Sandler. So, right now, zoom in on Rav Yochanan Sandler. What's the reason behind his position? Gemara goes on to explain. The following drasha. So Shabbos is Kodesh. The Kodesh over here to be understood in its most literal sense, meaning hektesh. Something that's hektesh is prohibited to you. Any activity on Shabbos is going to be prohibited to you, meaning the resultant of the activities that are done in Shabbos are going to be prohibited. So, ima kodesh aser ba'anaf, ma'aser Shabbos aser ba'anaf. Well, let's take it to its logical conclusion. We know that hektish is not only aser ba'achila, but aser ba'anaf. Why don't we say the same thing regarding ma'aser Shabbos? Tamar lamar lachem, shalachem yehei. Okay, so it is balanced by the fact that it says kodesh hi lachem. Lachem means it's yours. So, we are going to be balancing. Kodesh means it's not yours, and lachem means it is yours. So, how do we balance the two? So the balance is that it's aser ba'achila, but it's mutar ba'anah. So yachal afilu b'shogeg. Okay, that might be true. Let's say you violated Shabbos, but you did so b'shogeg. So the same result? No. Tamalam remechala mos yumas. No. Look contextually in the pasuk. The pasuk's talking about violating Shabbos b'mezid. B'mezid amarta lachavalam b'shogeg. So that's only b'mezid, not b'shogeg. So what do we have right now? We have the sheet of Rav Yochanan Sandler that ma'aser Shabbos when done b'mezid is aser. Aser ba'achila, it sounds like it's an iser min ha-Torah. Now we go back to the Braisa, plug that into the Braisa. The Braisa says that if you shecht on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayv dal vehei. How come you're not going to be chayv dal vehei? Because it's not shechita. Why? It's a shechita she'ein aruya, meaning we're subscribing to the shechita Rabbi Shimon. It's a shechita she'ein aruya because no one's allowed to eat it. Who says nobody is allowed to eat it? The answer is Rav Yochanan Sandler says nobody's allowed to eat it. Because that's the shechita Rav Yochanan Sandler. So in order to explain the sheet of the Chachamim, and this is where today's daf is a little bit complicated, so what you have to do is first start off with the Ukimta, that it wasn't you, the thief, who shechted it, but you instructed somebody else to shecht it, coupled with the fact that we're holding like Rabbi Shimon, that a shechita shein ruya is lav shmei shechita, couple that with the fact that we're subscribing to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who says that when you shecht to do any malach on Shabbos, it's going to be usur be'achila. Okay. And on this, the Gemara just has one small postscript, and that is Pligi bar Ravach of Ravina Chanamar Maaseh Shabbos Araisa v'Chanamar deRabbanan. Within the Shita Rav Yochanan Sandler, not everyone's in agreement that he holds it's an Issa deRaisa. Some are of the position that he holds it's an Issa deRabbanan. Mandamar deRaisa kedamaran, the one who holds that's deRaisa, that's already been explained. And Mandamar deRabbanan, Amar Kar Kodeshi, he Kodesh Vein Maaseh Kodesh. And the one who holds it's deRabbanan, he goes back to that same Pasuk. Shabbos is Kodesh, but the resultant of any activities that are done on Shabbos are not going to be Aser. Ulaman Damar deRabbanan, Mai Tamai deRabbanan dePatre. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what we have been doing now for the last 20 minutes about, and that is that we've been trying to say Pshat in the Braisa. So now, if the only way that we're going to be able to say Pshat in the Braisa is by having the Chachamim subscribe to both the Shita Rabbi Shimon and the Shita Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. But now you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds that Maisa Shabbos is not Nisa Dereisa, it's only Nisa Derabanan. So what happens now is our Pshat falls apart. So the Gemara says, okay, it falls apart a little bit. So Kika Pashu Rabbanan Asha'ara. So the Gemara says that when the Chachamim say you're Patur, so the Chachamim's Patur is not going on the case where you shecht it on Shabbos, but rather it's going on the case where you shechted it for Avodah Zarah. Alternatively, you shecht Eshur Nisgal. So that is a Shechita She'en Ruya, according to everybody. And since it's a Shechita She'en Ruya, so therefore you're going to be Patur from the Knas of Dal Vehe. Okay, that was a lot. Okay, that was the so where are we right now? So if I may, okay, let's just pause here for a moment. Let's regather, because that really is a lot. So where are we right now? All within the world of Reish Lakish, we have a mission that says that you're going to get makos when a man's ma'an is his sister. That's a mission of makos. We also have a mission ksuvas that says that you have to pay kanas. So how can they coexist? Kanas and Makos. So again, so going back to the previous days of our Perek, there was Ula's presentation, there was Rav Yochanan's presentation. But today, right, Suvastaf Lamedalid, so it's dedicated to Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish advances that. The Mishnayos are going like the Shita Rav Meir, and Rav Meir says both meaning that there's both Mamon and there's Makos, meaning Rav Meir subscribes to the fact that you're going to get both. So then what the problem is the upcoming Mishnah. The upcoming Mishnah says that a man who's ma'an is his daughter, so there's not going to be kanas. Well, if we're subscribing to Rav Meir, so don't we say both? What the Gemara is proposing is that, well, maybe there's a distinction to be made between makos and mamon versus misa and mamon. By makos and mamon, we could say both, but by misa and mamon, we're not going to say both. And then what we had to sidestep is a braisa, where the Braisa describes where a person is going to be violating Isuri Daraisa that are Chayav Misa, and Rav Meir says that you're going to be Chayav, and certainly the simple reading of that Braisa is that Rav Meir says both, even in the case of Misa, and what we did is that we gave an elaborate and somewhat difficult pshat in the Braisa, but in doing so, we were able to sidestep that issue. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf, but as long as we're here, as long as we quoted the Braisa, the Gemara wants to tie up a couple of loose ends. Let's go back to that Braisa. The Braisa is talking about where you're not going to be chayv dal vehe. One of the examples in the Braisa is where you shecht it for Avodah Zarah. Now, when you shecht for Avodah Zarah, so even as the knife goes through, meaning your interest right now is offering this animal for Avodah Zarah, so when does it become now Takrovis Avodah Zarah? Right after the first Siman. Probably, that's what Rashi says. Probably even before. Meaning the Gemara's Lashon is very graphic. Kevin Deshachabe Porta Itzer. The moment you make any kind of incision whatsoever, so now it's Takrovis Avodah Zarah. Meaning, it now is Aser. It's Aser Ba'achila, it's Aser Ba'anah. And now, when you finish the Shechita, because you're only going to be Chayv Dal Vehe when you finish the Shechita. The finishing of the Shechita is when you go through both Simanim. More technically, Rove, the majority of both Simanim, but still, that comes at a later point in time. So over here, the Gemara says that the Shechita is happening well after, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it doesn't matter. The Shechita is happening after the animal now becomes Takrovis Avodah Zarah. So the problem, of course, is that how can anyone then subscribe to the fact that there's going to be a chiv dal vehe? So Amar Rava, Amar Big Gemara Zvichu, who ovda. Okay, so the Gemara gives a technical answer in Ukimta. The Gemara says that you make a stipulation that even though you do want to offer this as a avodah zarah, it's not going to become an avodah zarah until you conclude the shechita. That's the case that Bryce is dealing with. Okay. And next. Shor Nisko Labdi Dehu de Katavach. Gemara says, Shor Nisko. An animal that kills. So an animal that kills now has the status of being a Shor Nisko. The Shor Nisko now is ownerless. It is Aser Be'achila. It's Aser Be'hana. And so therefore, we are wondering right now, how can the Bryce go ahead and say, how can anyone in the Bryce say, that when you steal a Shor Nisko and you shecht it, you're going to be chayv dal vehe. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's lav didei. It doesn't belong to the owner. So how could you be chayv? Okay, so another problem. So the Gemara over here has a solution. And for a second time today, it's not going to be a simple solution. It'll be slightly complicated. But the Gemara has a solution. Amar Rav ha'achar ben ma'iskin kigon. Shemasal shomer v'hizik bebe shomer. V'nigmar dinei bebe shomer. So the Gemara says the case of the Shor Nisko is the following. It involves a shomer. So somebody was entrusted as a custodian over the animal. And now we know that once he is a custodian, he has responsibility and liability. And while he was watching the animal went ahead and killed somebody. And it was tried all while under the jurisdiction of the shomer. Now, beve shomer, veganvo ganav mi be shomer. Now, what happens then? Is that after the animal was deemed to be a Shor Nisko in the house of the shomer, then the thief comes along and steals it from the house of the shomer. Okay, as I mentioned, the case over here is somewhat complicated. Okay, but basically, we have now the animal becoming a Shor Nisko in the house of the shomer, and based in ruling it to be a Shor Nisko. Then it was stolen from the Beis Shomer. Now, with that stated, we have to add two more points over here. Rav Meir Savalak Rav Yaakov Savalak Rav Shimon, and we have to say that in order for Rav Meir to argue that under those circumstances the shomer is going to be the ganav is going to be chayev, so you have to say one of two things. Number one, he has to subscribe to Rav Yaakov, and number two, he has to subscribe to Rav Shimon. And let's explain both. Savalak Rav Yaakov Damar Af Mishig Nigmar Dimar Hachzira Shomer LaBalav Muchzar. So first, the Shita Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov is a really interesting position, and that's the following. Look, as far as the Shomer is concerned, Shomer did not do a great job being a Shomer. That we could say without any equivocation. He did a bad job, right? He was asked to watch the animal, and meanwhile, under his watch, the animal went dead and killed somebody. Okay? And it was brought to Beis Din. And Beis Din now ruled it to be a Shor Nisko. Now, if you were to ask me, I'm not the best person to ask, but if you were to ask me now, so when he returns it back to the owner, hey, hi, how are you? I know you asked me to watch it, okay? I did an okay job watching it. I'll be honest, I did a terrible job watching it, but here it is. So, if you were to ask me, is that considered like he returned the item? Not really. Meaning what he's returning now is an item of zero value. Obviously, full disclosure. In other words, we're assuming here that he tells the owner exactly what happened, and now it was something of value. Now it has halachically no value. So if you ask me, I would tell you, that's not returning the item in which you were entrusted to take care of. Meaning it's the same physical item, but it went from having X value to having zero value. Okay, Rav Yaakov is of the position that when you return the item, as long as it is physically still in the same condition, even though it has halachically now has zero value, and when I say halachically, I mean also financially, meaning because the halacha is that a Shor Nisko is aser ba'achil and aser ba'ana, so that means now that from a financial standpoint, it's zero. Still, Rav Yaakov is of the position that when you return it, you have, you certainly haven't received an A, but it's a pass-fail. You have now successfully returned the item in that which you were asked to take care of, even though its value when you return it is zero. Okay, that's Rabbi Yaakov. Add to that now the position Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's Rabbi Shimon's position? V'savalek Rabbi Shimon, d'amar, davar hagarim lamamun kamamun dame. Ah, Rav Shimon's of the position that if something has no intrinsic value, however, it's something that for you represents loss, so Rabbi Shimon's of the position that even though it has no intrinsic value, we're going to treat it like something of value. This is what's called a davar hagarim lamamun. Let's stick with this example, because this example is a perfect illustration. Okay, what is the intrinsic value of the animal after it becomes a shor niskal? It is a zero, a whopping zero. Ah, but because now, if he returns the animal as is, so he has satisfied his obligation, and upon losing the animal, he now has to make a full reimbursement of the animal, so vis-a-vis the shomer, the animal represents value to the shomer. It, the animal, has no intrinsic value, but to the shomer, it has all of its value in that if he's unable to return it, he's going to be on the hook to have to reimburse for the entire animal. This is what in halacha is referred to as the davar hagorem lemamon. Does halacha view that as mamon? Machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon's of the position that davar hagorem lemamon is kim mamon. Therefore, from the shomer standpoint, does it have value? Intrinsically, no, but extrinsically, yes. To him, it has value. Therefore, when the thief comes and takes it from him, and shechs it, so it's a davar hagorem lemamon, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's viewed now kim mamon, and therefore that's why the thief now has to pay dal vehei. So, that is a long road to get to how could it possibly be that the thief is going to steal a shor niskal and have to pay dal vehei? It almost seems like an impossible position to maintain, considering that the shor niskal has zero value. So the Gemara says, in an extraordinarily limited circumstance, which we just illustrated, it could be that you're stealing a shor niskal and you're going to have to pay its not only its full value, but dal vehei on top of that as well. Okay. That's a lot. We are on the very bottom of Lamed Aleph. Aleph. We have now gone through Reish Lakish, Shitas Reish Lakish. So, for the entirety of today's daf, from our beginning to where we are right now, so we've been focusing on the sheet of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that who is our Mishnah going like? It's going like it's going like the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that loke u'mishalem. Now we know Rabbi Meir holds that. That's a Mishnah Makos, which we saw just a couple days ago. So we know that Rabbi Meir holds loke mishalem, and our Mishnah is in fact going like the Shita of Rabbi Meir. You're going to get Makos, and you're going to be mishalem. Ah, the problem is the Mishnah upcoming. The Mishnah says on Daf Lamed Vav that a man is ma'anis his daughter, so he's not going to pay. Because that's Misa. So what we're trying to argue, and Reish Lakish successfully argued, is that Rav Meir is of the position of Loke Mishalem, but Ein Misa U'Mishalem. That's where we stand right now. And admittedly, by the way, it was really easy for me to say that in summary form, but the Gemara had to navigate through a lot of discussion because there were a lot of brises that seemed to indicate otherwise, but the Gemara navigated. Amar Rabba. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Aleph, Rabba Amar. The very bottom, last line. Rabba Amar, la'olam b'tovecha yide atzmo. We're going to go back to that brisa. That brisa that described the thief who went ahead and stole and shechted. And Rabba's going to offer now the following as pshat. And that is that don't suggest what we suggested earlier, where you subcontracted it to somebody else to shecht. No, you yourself shechted it. And Rameir Loka Mishalem Islay, Mesa Mishalem Leislay. And Rameir holds that you're going to get that Malkus and Mishalem are both on the table, but what's off the table is Mesa Mishalem. Vishani Hani, the Chidashu Shechishator Beknas, Afagav de Mikta Mishalem. But what Rameir is ready to entertain is the following, and that is that if we're able to distill and just say that there's a knas, and only a knas, knas is a chiddush. Now, when we say that knas is a chiddush, what do we mean by that? Because as we've discussed time and again, knas is not compensatory. Knas is punitive, meaning that as far as compensation is concerned, so compensation obviously is intuitive. In other words, if you cause a loss, so you have to pay for the loss in which you caused. That's very intuitive. However, when the Torah imposes a knas, so that is above and beyond just loss, meaning that's above compensation, and that's a chiddush. And what we're arguing is the following. Since it's a chiddush, so what Reb Meir will tell you is that even if you're put to death, mishalom, you're going to have to pay. And that, now the Gemara is just simply going to illustrate this point, that way if we're just looking at knas, but here's the trick, and this is why the second half of today's daf is also a little bit complicated. We're going to have to only come up with cases where it's knas without tashlumim. And you'll see what I mean. So, so let's say that he stole, but he stole before Shabbos. And then what he did is he shechted on Shabbos. So, chayev. So, under those circumstances, he's going to have to pay the knas payment of Dal Vehei. So, shekvar nischayev begneva, kodem shekvar lidisr, isr Shabbos. Because as far as the geneva is concerned, that came before Shabbos. So, ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos pater. But if you do the Gneva and the Tzvicha on Shabbos, you're going to be Pater. She'im ein Gneva and Tzvicha vein Mechira. Because obviously, the only way you're going to get to Tzvicha Mechira is only through the Gneva. Now, we're going to do the same thing, but we're instead of using Shabbos as an example, we're going to be using Machteres as an example. So let's say you stole before Machteres. Now, this part is admittedly a little bit tricky. First of all, everyone here knows Machteres is when you tunnel to somebody's house, and when you tunnel to somebody's house, so they have every right to kill you. You are at that point in time, you're mater yourself lemisa. Okay, the eighth parak of Sanhedrin. Okay, anyway, so somehow, and this part's a little bit tricky. You stole the item not through machteris. Anyway, let's just assume right now that that's in fact the case. So ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos pater. Sorry. So the animal was already stolen, and then you shechted it while you were tunneling. So chayev shekvar nischayev begneva kodem shehav aliday iser machteres and ganav v'tavach machteres pater shim haya ishim ein gneva ein tvicha vein mechira. Okay, but if you stole through machteres, so now you're going to be pater because again the tashlumim and the kanas are coming concurrently. Okay, basically, here's what we just said two times over. And that is that if the tashlumim and the knas are both going to be imposed while you're chayiv miso, so under those circumstances, you're pater. Kim le b'derabim minei. But if we're able to separate tashlumim and knas, and the only thing that came concurrently with the misa is knas, so then you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because knas is a chiddush, and knas can, in fact, couple together with Misa. Utsricha. Now, the statement of Rabba was said two times over. Why was it said two times over? Di'iyashmin and Shabbos, Mishum, Di'isura, Isra Olam. When it comes to Shabbos, there's no statute of limitation for Shabbos. And I'm going to say over the Gemara like Rashi right now. And that is that when you violate Shabbos, so witnesses can come a day later, a week later, a month later, years later, testify and you're going to be Chayv Misa. Ava Machteres, Isra Shah, Hi Emelo. But when it comes to Machteres, that's Isra Shah. The machteris, you're only subject to the death penalty only while tunneling. But after the tunneling is complete, meaning once you leave the tunneling scenario and you're going home, you're no longer subject to the death penalty. So emalav iashmin the machteris, and we only had the case of machteris mishum de machteris ziyasraso, because we know by machteris there's no warning that's necessary. The Aval Shabbos debay hasra, but when it comes to Shabbos, where warning obviously is necessary before executing, so I might have thought, no, so it's richa, so that's why both cases are needed. Okay. And what we'll do is we'll pause over here. I'd like to have done a little bit more for today, but anyway, we'll start with Rav Papa tomorrow. But anyway, this brings us now to a new approach within the Shita of Rav Meir, meaning what we are now going to be arguing is that according to Rav Meir, so you're right. We say kimle b'drabimine, and a person is not going to be put to death, and pay, meaning that's off the table. However, what Rabba now is presenting is the following. You know what's on the table? What's on the table is knas in misa. Knas is punitive. Knas is a chiddush, and knas can in fact coexist together with misa. Ein tashlumim in misa. That part, those two don't coexist. But Knas and Misa can. Why? Because Knas is a Chiddush. And Rabba says it in one of two different examples, and the Gemara explains why we need both examples. This is all as per the Shita of Rabba. Let's quickly recap today. Really a fundamental daf, but admittedly a difficult daf, admittedly. So where do we find ourselves? We had two approaches today in terms of how to resolve. Really, the truth of the matter is, if I can even further distill and further organize, it was really one new approach today. And that's the approach of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish introduced us to the idea that the Mishnayos and Makos and the Mishnayos in Ksuvos, so how can we synthesize the two? How can we look at the two Mishnayos side by side? He's suggesting that it belongs to the Shita Rav Meir. Rav Meir is of the position that Makos and Mammon can, in fact, coexist. As far as Misa and Mammon, so those two cannot coexist, but according to Rav Meir, Malchus and Mammon can in fact coexist. That is the Shita of Rav Meir, as evidenced by the Mishnah Malchus, and just simply plugged in over here. Okay, but the problem with Reish Lakish's Pshat is that we had a Braisa that seemingly did not coordinate with that viewpoint. The Gemara, through most of the Amud Aleph, all of the Amud Aleph, navigated through what was a difficult series of brises and a difficult way of addressing that brisa. That is the first part of today's daf. And the second part of today's daf is Rabbah. Rabbah's of the position that we're gonna go like Reish Lakish. We're gonna say that the Mishnayos are going like Rav Meir, but we're gonna add even an additional chiddush, and that is that Misan Mamon is off the table. That's Kimle B'Derabim Minei, and the two cannot coexist. But if it's Knas and Misa, the two of those can coexist. Meaning, but when we say knas, it means it has to only be knas, to the exclusion of where most of the time it's a combination of tashlumim and knas. It's mammon and knas. It's compensatory and punitive. But in a case where we could separate the two, and it's just a knas coupled together with the miso, so Rav is of the position that according to Rav Meir, you're going to be chayv in both. Okay, that's the, and then, like what Reish Lakish says, now, we can have both Mishnayos work out, and not only can we have both Mishnayos work out, even the Braisa that we quoted earlier today, meaning how could it be that a thief is going to steal and Shecht on Shabbos, and according to Rav Meir, you're going to be Chayev? The answer is that he stole before Shabbos, so therefore the compensation now is a pre-Shabbos event, and now on Shabbos when he Shechts, it's just Knas, together with Misa, those two can coexist. Ad Kan.